Well, I desire your prayers this evening. I have a little thought that if you don't mind, let's just sing. We'll just sing the first verse for now. If you don't mind, just the first verse of number 160. And I know there's been, I remember Brother Bill Rozelle and others would call this song quite frequently. And I remember it as a little boy, always thinking that it was just the name of some lady, and not really understanding what this was about. But it is based on a scripture, and we'll read that here in a little bit. Let's sing the first verse of number 160, the Rose of Sharon.
Lord Jesus, my sweet Rose, I share.
So here we have the Rose of Sharon. Well, it's interesting to note that roses, of course, when I hear the name of a rose, I immediately think, of course, of flowers, but I think of love. And isn't it interesting that that is a typical when a man gives a woman, girl, whatever, roses, it's symbolizing their love for them. Well, that's basically what the Rose of Sharon is talking about. It's talking about love. And in fact, in the book of the Song of Solomon, this is where the scripture is found, the second chapter. And this whole book, as we all know, is about love, about Christ, a lot of prophecies about Christ and about the church. And his love for the church, for his bride, that means his love for us. And in likewise, our love for him. But we just sang here at the first verse, talking about, Lord Jesus, my sweet Rose of Sharon, my prophet, my priest, and my king. That's a mouthful. Just those three names, those three titles, what that entails. We'll just focus on the king for just a little bit. I'll be the first to say that I've been rather disappointed with numerous individuals that have been in power, authority, control of not just our nation, other nations, and in town on a smaller level, just of corporations. In fact, we've had some drastic changes in the corporation I work with and came from the top all the way down. And it just seems so heartless, some of the things that took place. And I've been in that before. I've worked for other corporations, the same old story. It's all about the money. They don't care. You're just a number. There's no personal interaction there. You're just a number. All they're out there to do, the ones at the top, is to please the shareholders. Those that are buying shares in the company and wanting to make more money, well, they want to please them. So they make all these changes, these promises. And in the end, it pleases just a few people. But those that are having to work for this corporation, whether they make serious changes, whether they get laid off, or whether they have to make a lot of changes in their everyday procedures, that doesn't make sense. Just, trying to save some money here when all this thousands and millions of dollars are being wasted over here, but we're going to save just a little bit over here and focus. But the point is, people can really disappoint you. Keep people in authority because they think they know best, when in reality, They really don't. They really don't get it. Sometimes they do, but sometimes they don't. And it's really frustrating. And as a human being, a person that has to deal with the effects of someone else's decisions, that it was poor judgment. And maybe 6 months down the road, it's like, oops, that was the wrong decision. I mean, we shouldn't have done it. We're sorry. We'll apologize. We'll go try this. I want to tell you something. This Rose of Sharon, this king that we serve, he does not make mistakes. There is no misjudgments. There is never a time that he's not concerned about your welfare. He's concerned about the intricate details of your life more than I understand, more than I can comprehend. And he cares about them. He's a king. He's a priest, a prophet. I don't know. It baffles me, and it makes me excited. Maybe I didn't say that very, but anyway, because it's such a breath of fresh air that we can serve someone that is never going to take advantage of us. Isn't that wonderful? Where can you go out there? We'll walk out these doors. I can take you into town to business after business. And I can promise you, most of them, there's people there that have taken advantage of other people. It's just a fact of life. And I'm not just picking on Neosho. Anywhere. It's because we're dealing with the mass numbers in this world are living in sin. So all they're thinking about is me, myself, and I. I heard a little saying a while back, and I've never forgot it. And I think it fits well here, that a person wrapped up in themselves is a pretty small package. And that's what it amounts to, that everyone is concerned about themselves. They don't care about anyone else. But we have someone, the Rose of Sharon, that is concerned about you and I. And that's what it's talking about here in the second chapter of the Song of Solomon. It says, first verse, I am the Rose of Sharon and the Lily of the Valleys. Let's just stop right there and talk about what... You see, the Book of Solomon, of course, it has a lot of love language in it. A lot of metaphors, a lot of analogies. And that's what this is talking about here. The Rose of Sharon, in the literal sense. There was actually several different types of... And many are speculating what literally these Rose of Sharons look like, because there's several different variations. The bottom line was they're pretty, okay? So I'm not going to sit here and try to explain exactly what they look like and show you 15 different pictures of what they could have been. But the bottom line was they were pretty. They were attractive. They weren't weeds, okay? And they didn't have thorns on them like your typical roses. These were beautiful roses of Sharon. Well, where were they at? They do know this, that a lot of these Rose of Sharon that is mentioned here was along the coastal areas of the Mediterranean Sea, right along where Israel was, and around the city of Joppa and all up and down north and south of that area. And it was in the sandy soils there. And it's interesting to note, you know, I didn't realize this at a young age. I always thought that the desert, you know, the sand was just the worst place to try to grow something. But then someone helped me understand that it actually can be one of the most bountiful places to grow stuff. When given proper care and attention and water, can be lush and green. And anyway, so that's where the Rose of Sharon was at. In a very fruitful place, and many speculate this is the same area where King David fed his cattle. And it was also explained, in fact, let's just read this scripture real quick. In Isaiah, the 35th chapter, it explains what this was, a place of excellence. In Isaiah, the 35th chapter, verses 1 and 2, it says, the wilderness and the solitary place shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice even with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given unto it, the excellency of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord and the excellency of our God. So again, this place was a place of excellency. It's a place that was could be lush and green. It mentions here a little later, the lily of the valleys. But on the surface, maybe it didn't look like this could be an attractive place. But when given the proper care and attention, it could be beautiful. The rose of Sharon would bloom there. You know, that's really what it's talking about. We're kind of shifting gears here. But our lives, we're living here. Yes, we're living in America. And I'm grateful for that. And we have these wonderful opportunities to serve the Lord like we're doing here tonight. I'm not afraid of someone coming in the back door and running up here and holding a gun to my head and said, you better not preach the word of God. I'm not afraid of that. But yet, in America, there is so much opposition. And Sister Robin mentioned this a little bit ago. To living a holy life. Oh, you can name Christ. Proclaim whatever. You can say you're this. You can say you're that. And you can go to this church over here. And you can say you pray and read the Bible. But to live a holy life, there is so much opposed to that. It's as if it's a desert land out there, all right? That the sun's going to beat down on it and try to burn you up, so to speak. And then maybe something's finally blooming, then something comes along and stomps it. Or whatever the case is, it's a desert land. But yet, when given the proper care and attention, and a little bit of watering, that little rose of Sharon can bloom inside and make something beautiful out of you. Something beautiful that's attractive to those that are in sin around you. Well, it reminded me of a story. No doubt some of you all have heard this too. I read it a while back and someone can maybe fill in the details for me. But it was back during the, I believe it was during World War II and the concentration camps. And someone was given an account of their experience in the concentration camp. How that everything was so cold and drab and miserable. The rooms that they were in, there were several having to crowd in these little rooms. You know, no clothes, no food, no heat, no nothing. Bare walls, dirt floors. I mean, everything was just drab. So depressing. So it's the worst you can imagine. But one day, there was someone in one of these little rooms that found a little tiny yellow flower that was blooming in this dark, cold, damp prison that they were in. And that one little tiny flower changed that whole room because it was color, it was life, it was God's creation. It was something blooming there that shouldn't have been there. That was the intentions of these that had these concentration camps. They didn't want them to have any joy, any happiness, any comfort, any of those things. Take all of that away from them. But this one little flower, and this lady found this one little flower, and she protected it with her life almost. Like, everyone leave this flower alone, but let's look at it. In the sun, they could come, finally get a little glimmer of sun through one of the cracks in the windows, or not a window, in the wall or something, and could light up the area. This one little flower gave them hope, gave them comfort of something beautiful that they remembered years ago, maybe, or months ago, whatever the case was, that they remember maybe rolling in fields of flowers and in their flower beds or whatever. And they were remembering, it gave them hope where they could survive. And that one little flower gave them courage to persevere through all the trauma that they had to experience there in prison. One little flower. You know, sometimes that's what it takes in our lives to get that rose of Sharon when it seems everything around us is against us. But we can have that rose of Sharon blooming inside that. And we love that comfort and that peace and that feeling that he's in there and I'm special to him and he's guarding me with his life. You understand the connection there? That I don't know how to say it any other way. But I'm just thankful tonight that we can have this rose of Sharon against all odds, against all opposition, that he's going to make sure he's going to take care of his own. And when he does that, guess what? When he keeps us alive and blooming, then that gives someone else hope.
Yeah.
That if they can make it, I can too. Isn't that wonderful? This plan of salvation, I'm not hiding, I'm not keeping it to myself. That it's something we want to share with everyone. Someone wants to ask, and then I'm going to tell them, you know. But it's something that this world, they really don't understand. They really don't grasp it. And that's what it goes on here, verse 2. As the lily among thorns, so is my love among the daughters. Now, shifting gears here just a little bit. Among the thorns. You know, this world is full of wickedness. We could say that's the thorns. And those thorns, sin, even though we aren't committing sin by God's grace, those we love most, or those we really care about, or those that we rub shoulders with, are deep in sin and they don't care. Oh, that's a little flower and just squish me, you know. You understand what I'm saying? They're cold-hearted. They don't understand that they're like a bull in a china cabinet spiritually, just destroying everything in their path. It's the devil doing that. But here we have a lily among thorns. Thorns, well, they can hurt you, poke, give some poison. It's hurtful, pain. They're really worthless and useless, you know. The effects of sin is what I'm talking about here. Not the individuals. But the effects of sin, it's death. It just destroys homes. It destroys lives. It destroys your health. Was reminded just recently again of some folks I work with. And the things they do on the weekends just is beyond my comprehension. But that's what the world promotes. They see it on the television. They hear it in the songs they listen to. They see it lived out in their parents and their grandparents and all the things that they do. And like, well, they did it, so I can too. And then, what's the song say? Sin will take you further than you want to go. And before long, they're doing things that their parents are appalled at. They're like, you do what? But that's the thorns, that's the sin, and it's destroying, it's sapping the life out of you. And you get the poison of sin in your life, and before long, things start rotting and falling apart. And before long, you're missing some arms and legs, and you can't function normally, spiritually speaking. You understand what I'm saying? And that's what the devil's going, yes, I got him. But then one day, that person may find someone else that has this rose of Sharon blooming inside. And they come along and they're like, wow, there's hope. And then they hear the story of what they went through, what they experienced. And they're going, you what? And God made this out of you. He made something out of you. And you're able to do this and this. And like, yes, God healed all those things. God gave me life. God gave me hope. Where I don't have to stay crushed under someone's foot, so to speak. The devil's thumb sometimes, just wanting to, you know. I'm like, well, I'm going to take care of it. But no, we have the rose of Sharon. The prophet, the priest, the king that's watching out for you and I. As long as we have that rose of Sharon blooming in our hearts and lives, then the true Rose of Sharon is going to see that we are protected. Is going to see that we are cared for. Is going to see that we aren't poked full of holes from all these thorns where we lose the life within us. You understand what I'm saying? But as the old saying goes, and we've used this recently on the job quite a bit, making lemonade out of lemons. You know, that's what the world, it's like the devil will throw some lemons at some folks. You understand what I'm saying here? Some setbacks, some disappointments, some major changes in their lives and that they don't know what to do with. And it doesn't taste good. It's sour. And it kind of distorts your face a little bit. And you kind of cringe at it. You know, sometimes life is like that. But we have someone, this Rose of Sharon, that can make lemonade, something that's soothing, appetizing, refreshing, making lemonade out of lemons. That's what this Rose of Sharon can do. even among the thorns. Because you see, out in the world, they don't have any hope. I've spoke with, you all know what I'm talking about. It doesn't take long to rub shoulders with people. And just their demeanor, shoulders sagging, their face drooping, blank looks. You know what I'm talking about. And I'm thinking, shame on the devil. I mean, look at what he's wrecked their lives. I've seen the look on a mother that her husband, the father, just left. You understand what I'm saying? And the look of despair, hopelessness. Let me tell you something. We think it's bad now, the divorce rate, okay? The it's like everywhere I turn, there's, you know, the stepchildren, the step brothers and sisters, the stepfathers and mothers, and they go down the line. It's not just one or two or three, it's several. And that's just the norm. But let me tell you, that's the life among the thorns. And they're thinking, well, that's just normal to have, you know, all these to be dysfunctional. You understand what I'm saying? They're thinking that's normal. But I'm thinking, no, that's not what the scriptures talk about. The scriptures talk about being made whole again, about being healed, about being given new life within, about giving hope, about bringing things back together, mending things and relationships. That's what the scriptures talk about, and about that peace that passeth understanding. That's what we're talking about. Well, this rose of Sharon. How many times have we, perhaps, I'm going to talk about just the physical appearance again. I remember years ago driving through, we were on a little trip, and drove through the countryside, and I don't even remember what state we were in. But we had just, at this point, we had just driven through some areas that had, I think there's a lot of Amish and different ones living there, and their houses, their lands, their property is all nice and pretty, manicured, and flowers, and children playing outside, and just a beautiful picture. Beautiful farmland. Excuse me. It just looked so pretty and attractive. And then it wasn't long, we drove into another area that was totally different. Drove into some little rundown little towns where nothing had been mowed or weed-eated for years. Glass broken out of windows and graffiti sprayed everywhere, and everything was just desolate. A few people here and there, a little car here or there, and a person walking over here looked so ragged and rough, and maybe, you know, puffing on a cigarette and all these things. And I'm thinking, what a difference. What a change. And see, that's the thing that the devil would love to do. You see, we feed off of each other. And I'm not just talking, yes, we do here in the congregation, okay? Just with each of us as we know each other. We feed off of each other. I want to tell you something. It goes beyond just these four walls. We rub shoulders with the world, and all they want to talk about are their broken dreams, their broken hearts, their disappointments. And they get so mad and so furious and so frustrated, start using all the filthy language, and then they start listening to all this music that is not encouraging, not uplifting. And then they start getting involved in all these, as we know, the drugs, the alcohol, and all these things to kind of drown. And that they're feeding off one another, and then they get together with other like-minded, and it's like these thorns just are poking one another. And then they get upset at one another. Well, I dare you to talk, you know, and because they had a rough weekend and they had a rough weekend. Then these thorns are poking one another. And sometimes we're kind of on the outskirts, so to speak, and we get poked a little bit too. But it feeds off of one another. But I want to encourage us here tonight. I guess my burden, maybe it's just for me, but that we don't allow, Lord help us, the thorns around us to sap the life and energy from this rose of Sharon, this beautiful, attractive, a wonderful fragrance. It's a pleasure to have, okay? That we don't allow these thorns in our around us, in our, excuse me, in our lives to take the life out of us. And maybe it's just me tonight that I'm talking to. But I want to encourage us that we don't have to settle for what the world is accepting as their standard. We can settle for what this rose of Sharon. We heard about it this morning, about the woman that broke the alabaster box. And not only her, think of all the stories in the scriptures. Remember the woman at the well? When Jesus, he's like, I know. You know, she tried to explain a little bit of what was going on, but he's like, well, go tell your husbands, plural, you know. He knew what was really going on, but yet he did not reject her. And in the end, what did she find? She found what she had been looking for. And it was so much so that she left and went back to her town and started telling everybody about it. You see, she started being a positive influence, all right? She wanted to affect in a positive way where there's hope in this life. And let me explain just a little further here. And again, maybe it's just me. But sometimes when you hear the news about all the things that are going in this nation, going on in this nation, all the upheaval, I mean, all these things, these rallies are trying to get together and for one way or the other, and all the laws are being, you know, the government shut down, and the rumors of all the wars, and all these things the government's trying to do to us, and all these, I work with some guys that they're big conspiracy theorists. I mean, they love these conspiracy theories, and they just listen to that stuff, and they eat it up, and I listened to one conversation, and let me tell you something, I walked away from that, I felt kind of dirty. You understand what I'm saying? That I'm like, okay, I know I don't agree with everything our government's doing. That's not the point, but the attitude behind it. He's like, if I can get my hands on, and I'm like, whoa, this guy is very vindictive. And he's rattling off all the things he's going to do, and he's got an arsenal of this, and I'm going to do this, and if this happens, you know. And I'm thinking, where's the rose of Sharon? I didn't say that to him, but I'm thinking, there's more to life than this. I can't allow the government to crush my spirit. You understand what I'm saying? There's more to life than the U.S. government. Yes, sir. There's more to life than America, than the American dream. We heard about that this morning. American dream is diminishing a little bit. I'm thankful that I have my sights set on another country. I was just speaking to someone this afternoon about my grandparents that have passed on now. Let me tell you something. That whetted my appetite. I want to go see him again. And then I start thinking about all these things that's falling apart down here. I'm like, let them fall apart. I'm ready for a new home. I'm ready for where the sweet Rose of Sharon is right now. The master Rose of Sharon. You understand what I'm saying? That we don't have to let these things drag us down, pull us apart, stomp us, smush us around, and that's it. There's more to life than that. And it's found in the Rose of Sharon. You pray for me that I would continue following the Lord.